From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. It's not easy looking ahead to 2012 in Wisconsin politics without recognizing what a contentious year 2011 was for lawmakers and many residents. This hour, we'll talk with Democratic State Senator Jennifer Schilling and Democratic State Representative Steve Doyle about some legislation they'd like to work on in the coming months. But first, we return to the political upheaval of recalls, which could be held against Governor Scott Walker and four state senators in the new year. I asked Representative Doyle if it's possible to get any work done during the recall process.
There's going to be two different answers on that, my house versus Jen's house. In the assembly, the Republicans have a fairly substantial majority. So, I mean, they are setting the agenda, and we have been told that we're going to be talking about a lot of social policy, whether it's abortion or more gun issues or, you know, gay issues or, you know, certain types of education issues and so forth, sex education and that type of thing. I haven't heard a whole lot of talk that we're going to do anything in terms of economic development or jobs other than the mining bill that is, on the verge of an assembly vote probably within the next month or so. Perhaps venture capital, although that the details aren't worked out either. So in my house, some things are going to get done in the assembly that I will probably vote against in many respects. I mean, I would rather see us push the social agenda off to the side and focus on the economy. You know, I think Bill Clinton had it right years ago when he ran for president and said he was going to focus like a laser on the economy. We've lost sight of that laser. It's out of focus at this point. We need to focus on the economy in Wisconsin, and we need to do it now.
So why is it that people aren't focusing on the economy right now?
Well, in the Republican caucus, there's not always an agreement on how to do things. I mean, right now on the both the venture capital bill and on the mining bill, the Republican Party itself is not in agreement on how to handle what would be the two centerpiece issues for, you know, job creation in Wisconsin. Unfortunately, the Democrats have not been invited to the party. And when the bill gets to the committees and gets to the floor, we'll have an opportunity to contribute. And that's unfortunate because if you are brought in at an early stage, you become invested in the process and in the product. And I see that in my law practice all the time when we're trying to work out an agreement on a lawsuit or whatever. You know, you get the people finding common areas of agreement, and that's what produces a good outcome. We're not seeing that in Madison at this point. And if that one thing changes where people start inviting both sides to the table, I think you're going to see a difference in tone and a difference in outcome. Until that happens, you're going to see more polarization.
And in the Senate, with that one vote majority, and there are currently four senators who are having papers circulated against them for recall, and if they are indeed recalled and those signatures are turned in, certainly their focus is going to be back home on their election. And so they're not going to want to be in Madison voting, maybe taking some tough votes on issues that are unpopular. And we really have a short window of opportunity to deal with legislation this year that we're scheduled to be in, you know, mid-January, and then we adjourn in April, maybe one week back in May. But really there's only about 4 months that we're in on the calendar, and out of those 4 months, there's only like 2 weeks each month that we're scheduled to be in for floor session. So there really is not a lot of time, and I don't know if maybe, you know, some of the concerns is let's just wait this out, and we'll try to, you know, some of the really controversial things this first year of 2011. I think that the Republicans were said, listen, let's do these bigger issues. The social issues will come through at the fall session. We'll come through in the second year of the biennium. We'll do some of these social issues, and so I think they're getting a little antsy that they want their social issues up on the agenda, that they've waited patiently. The recalls, you know, it kind of took everybody off their message this year as far as being able to work on what they wanted to work on. So in the Senate side, I think we will continue to be pragmatic and slow things down, and possibly things won't even come up for a vote if some of them are uncomfortable for some of these senators who find themselves really between a rock and a hard place. They don't want to take a vote if they had won in a very narrow margin last November, and now they've, you know, angered people through their collective bargaining vote and then dealing with the budget and other things. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see, but I think it's still going to be pretty tenuous.
And our next questions come from Brad Williams of Wisdom Radio.
I'll continue along that line on the social issues, because it certainly is the perception that once one party or the other gets in, it's like, okay, now it's our chance to do the voter ID and the concealed carry and so on. Are you finding that's what the voters here in the district want? Do you hear them say, when are you going to get around to the jobs bills? Or are you saying, yeah, it's about time we had the concealed carry?
I almost never hear people talk about the social issues. They're always talking to me about the jobs. I mean, certain people are one-issue folks. I mean, there are certain folks that felt strongly about, you know, concealed carry. There's people that contact me on, you know, say abortion or, you know, other social issues. But what I hear over and over again is two things: jobs and economy, and secondly, bipartisanship. And people don't necessarily even, on the topic of bipartisanship, say be bipartisan on this issue. They say work together. And even if it's a small thing, work together. And that whole tone that goes with polarization versus bipartisanship is what I hear over and over again.
Well, I think, you know, this year that we have had sort of an unpredictable year, but I think people, when they sit around their kitchen table and they talk to their family members, yes, it's about job security, it's about education and our quality schools, and also the health care, access to health care. And now we've seen Governor Walker want to cut Medicaid $500 million. He wants to put in this waiver application to the federal government for approval that there's a lot of uncertainty about Badger Care and people being dropped. And I think, you know, early on, he's always talked about shared sacrifice. And I don't think we saw that shared sacrifice in the budget. I don't think we're seeing that shared sacrifice right now dealing with health care and family care for our vulnerable citizens here in Wisconsin, if they're disabled, if they're seniors, if they're children. And, you know, people are upset about that, that they say, you know, I'll do my fair share as long as everybody else is kind of pulling the wagon the same way that we are and being asked to make those same sacrifices. So as we come on the heels of 2011, a lot of people now who currently are on Medicaid are concerned about what 2012 will bring for access to health insurance for themselves, for their parents, and for their children. And I know here in La Crosse County, the Badger Care population, we have about 13,000 people on Badger Care. 7,600 of them are children. And the governor wants to change that program. Today we see, you know, the governor talked about capping family care. Today we find out that the cap was going to be lifted, not because Governor Walker wanted to do it, but because the federal government told him he had to do it. The federal government told him he could not go about with some of the changes in family care the way he wanted to. So for him to kind of pat himself on the back and take credit for deciding to lift the family care cap, I find that disingenuous. And it was something that the federal government said that you can't do. So there are some issues that, you know, we continue to talk about jobs, but also people are really worried about what is happening kind of in the background of federal government without the legislature being able to weigh in on it, because he tells his administration something and because of new rules, they can go ahead and do it without votes by the legislature.
Jennifer, you've been there for more than 10 years in Madison. Steve, you've been there for just a few months. What do the two of you find are the biggest misconceptions that the average voter has about how things get done in Madison or don't get done?
We probably don't get credit for the bills that we do work on together. It's the ones that become really high polarized or high visible bills that are kind of the ones, and I've always said, and maybe this year is sort of the exception, but in the past, I think probably 70% of the bills that the legislature passes out of the assembly, at least where I had my experience in history, 70% of them are probably bipartisan bills. And then you have those bills that are pretty the philosophical bills with party affiliation that are partisan. And again, I think this year there's just been such a hard line on some of these bills that are pretty divisive in our state. If it's, you know, the voter ID bill, if it was the repeal of the Healthy Youth Act about sex education in our schools, if it's dealing with, you know, big tax breaks for corporations while at the same time we are gutting our schools by $800 million, that it just seems like the bills that we have coming up are just so much more further to the right than they ever had been, and that really there are very few moderate Republicans that are left in their caucus to kind of say, listen, let's have some common sense, let's be in the middle, that many of the bills we see coming out are very far to the right and you know, it's frustrating because this is not the kind of the tone and the tenor and the process that I have been part of in the past. This year we are seeing kind of the rules of the body being thrown out and limiting debate and, you know, cutting people off so they can't vote. I mean, that's not been the practice of the legislature in the past.
I'm not sure that there are as many misconceptions about how things work in Madison now as there had been in the past because people are so focused on what's going on in Madison. Everybody is aware of, you know, how the budget process worked and the big issues that were being talked about, whether it was, you know, the cuts to education or earlier in the year with collective bargaining. People really have seemed to focus on that issue today because it is so much front and center. The problem that I see, though, is that so often what people get are sound bites. You know, and both parties are equally responsible for that because that's the best way to get your message across. So, you know, the Republicans always talk about the Democrats being tax and spend liberals, and the Democrats always talk about the Republicans being in the pocket of the millionaires, billionaires, and big businesses. And so when we get past that and we actually have news coverage of, you know, the real issues that are being talked about, I think people are focusing now because they're seeing that it does have an impact on them, whether it's whether they're going to have a job or not or whether their taxes are going to go up or down or stay the same. And so I like that development. You know, the polarization, if there is a silver lining to that cloud, is that people do now understand a little bit more about how government works and who the players are involved in that. So I hope we don't lose that as time goes on. But I still think that we're probably stuck in you know, the bumper sticker era, you know, the soundbite era, people have to do, you know, dig a little bit to find out more about what the issues are about. You know, we're seeing that with the mining bill that, you know, was recently introduced. Immediately the business community said, yes, that's a great bill, it's going to create jobs. That's their bumper sticker. And the environmental community said it's going to destroy the environment, and that's their bumper sticker. But it's a, 189-page bill that has a lot of nuances in it, and we're never going to find out all about that, at least in the public sense, because the discussion kind of loses track after you get past the bumper stickers.
I want to go back to this mining bill because it mostly refers, if I'm correct, to mining in northeastern Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Will any of it have to do with frac sand mining? I mean, I know that's a hot topic here in the Cooley region.
The way it's drafted at this point, it really does relate to a different type of mining, what is going to happen up there. In terms of western Wisconsin, in particular La Crosse County, we're very unique in terms of how frac sand mining will affect us because we're one of the few counties in western Wisconsin that has countywide zoning. And we have a much better ability to control our fate as a result of that. We have the ability to issue conditional use permits for the mining that will require things like contribution to the highway maintenance and repairs, contribution to, you know, the local economy in terms of other costs that will be there. We can require a bond that would cover all of the remediation that would be required when the mining project is done. We can put all sorts of extra environmental regulations in there that other counties are not able to. And that's why we see the frac sand mining coming to La Crosse County really last in western Wisconsin of all the counties, because we have a better ability to say, yeah, it's got some positives, but here's how you've got to do it, where that hasn't been the case in other counties.
Yeah, and I believe Senator Kathleen Vineout is working on a frac sand mining legislation, so that would be something different than the mine. And it doesn't, the mining bill isn't specific just to northern Wisconsin, but certainly that it doesn't name it in the state statutes or in the bill, but certainly that's geared toward that permitting and that process, and there are concerns about some of the environmental impacts that it would have. But I know that Senator Vineout really is working on one that she hopes will have strong bipartisan support as far as just some of the safeguards and things in counties. And as Steve had mentioned, we have had a listening session. We've had two listening sessions on frac sand mining here in La Crosse County. A lot of concerned citizens came out and had a lot of good questions. We couldn't necessarily answer all of them because there are a lot of things that we still need to look into, but concerns about air quality and water quality and the transportation use and what it means to the roads. And we do have a strong zoning ordinance here in in La Crosse County, many counties don't have that. And so those are the counties that these companies are going into and doing some prospecting.
And both of you before talked about jobs and getting the economy back on track as some of the biggest issues for the next year. Do either of you have specific bills that you're really hoping gain support personally for the next year?
Well, there's been, during the call for special session back in October, November, we had a bipartisan group of bills. I think 26 of them were called for by the governor, and there was a handful, six of them, I think, were Democratic bills. But one of the bills was advanced manufacturing grants for our technical colleges. And I've long said that, you know, if we have people plus worker training equals jobs, and allowing the technical colleges to have some additional grant money available for training people in high demand jobs, if it's in welding, healthcare is another area, that is something. That was a bill that passed the Senate 32-1. And it didn't even come up in the state assembly for a vote. And so I think we really need to help with some of the worker retraining. I would like to see a responsible venture capital bill advance, and there have been some concerns with companies, Capco, some of the out-of-state insurance. They're kind of insurance companies that manage some of this money. And in Wisconsin, we don't have the best track record with some of these Capcos in the past. We've kind of learned our lesson. And as I understand it, those companies are not included in the bill that's kind of working its way through some leadership right now to try to get some agreement on that. But I think that would help. We are always lag behind in entrepreneurs here in the state of Wisconsin, and some of that early seed money that's important. We've done some things on venture capital and angel capital in the past, but certainly as you talk to small businesses, they say, we've got this great idea. We just need some money to help us with this early investment to kind of get it off the ground. And, you know, the research that we are seeing at the University of Wisconsin, also spin off of some of these high tech companies, is really important as well. So I know that we've done in last January a lot of tax incentive bills and tax credit bills, but I think we can be doing more with some of the venture capital and some of this early seed money for companies, as well as some of the worker training through our tech schools.
A couple of months ago, Jen and I pulled together a meeting of the economic development professionals in the county. That was the key players in our local economy, LADCO, the Chamber of Commerce, the tech schools, labor leaders. And we said to them, give us some ideas for this upcoming special session on jobs. What are some things that would really benefit people in the here and now? And by the way, they can't really cost any money. I mean, that's what we told them. You know, they rose to the occasion. They had great ideas that we have then turned into proposals, some of which Jen, you know, had mentioned. The two biggest ones that I found in terms of usefulness coming out of that meeting were to focus on brownfield grants. And if you look at what we've seen in La Crosse County with funding to take areas that have been depressed and turn them into something, is using those brownfield grants. Take a look at, you know, the LHI development down along the riverside. That used to be essentially a wasteland down there, and it is now a thriving and valuable part of our community in terms of its attractiveness, you know, from a visual standpoint, but the jobs that have been created. And you use those grants that are already available, and what our proposal was is to allocate at least a minimum amount every year to continue those types of grants. Second one is the job training grants that have been available, which in the past have only been able to be used to train the workers or potential workers, which is important, and we want to continue that, but they weren't allowed to be used for the company that needs to just tweak its operation a little bit. If you're making widgets today, but you could do enhanced widgets tomorrow with just a little bit of, you know, rejiggering of your operation, you might be able to hire a bunch more people. But you couldn't use these grants to do that before. And so we wanted to do that, to make that just a more flexible program. And so those are the kinds of things that don't cost more money. They simply reallocate and refocus a little bit. And I still want to keep working on those issues, because I think that's really where we're at today, is we have to be innovative, and we have to do more with less, and we have to do different. And if we all start to realize that that's got to be the goal, you know, there's a lot of creative people out there with a lot of good ideas that we should be talking about.
I'm wondering if either of you have New Year's resolutions, whether politically or personally, for the new year.
I'll say personally, I have really, this is probably going to sound kind of cheesy, but I have been trying to do better at handwritten notes to people that I have recognized this year, the many kind notes and cards that I've received, people taking time to send me a nice note, just how much that means. And so I really want to try to be better at writing handwritten notes instead of just sending off an email, which is always probably a little bit quicker. But thing, you know, I hear of somebody who has fallen ill or somebody who, you know, and I think I should just write them a quick note and let them know I'm thinking about it. So that's probably a little cheesy, but trying to do better is, you know, as far as my handwritten thank you notes and just dropping a line to someone to say I'm thinking about them. And then I'm always trying to deal with clutter and be a better manager of paper in my household and closets and things like that. And that's one of the pieces of advice that I gave to the new representative, Jill Billings, was that you don't have to hang on to every single piece of paper that we get in the mail from groups or presentations, or there are so many things online that it sort of overtakes your dining room table and your desk and everything at home. So I'm trying to be better at being a better organized and less cluttered person with a lot of the paperwork that I receive.
My personal resolution has to do with my family. You know, I went through a tough election this spring, and my focus for quite a period of time this year was in getting elected and then learning about the job. And so I wasn't able to spend as much time as I would have liked to with my family, and they've been just troopers. I mean, they've been great. They've been there for me even when they weren't necessarily sure if I was going to be there for them. And I, you know, I love them dearly, and I owe them a lot. And so I want to focus as much time as I can, especially in the early part of this year, on doing family things. Because they know and I know that the second part of this year is going to be election time again, and it's going to be tough again. So that's my New Year's resolution, is to, you know, do some special things with the family. In terms of the political or professional New Year's resolution, would be really to, in whatever personal way I can do, to try to bring that bipartisanship back to Madison. And I, you know, like to talk about the bill that I had worked with the Republican on that got rid of the tax that applied to people who had adult children on their health insurance. You know, that was an example where I could say, I worked with a Republican, we got this done, and I'm very proud about that. And I want to be able to give more examples in the new year of where I've worked with other people. And it wouldn't necessarily be, you know, a Republican in the legislature, although I certainly hope to do that. But you know, I've been trying to meet with people in the business community in La Crosse to find out what, you know, those people who perhaps would normally tend to lean Republican would like to see me focus on, so that I can be responsive to their needs as well as the people who would normally already be supporting me. I want to hear from both sides. So that's my two goals for this year.
Democratic State Representative Steve Doyle of Onalaska and Democratic State Senator Jennifer Schilling talk about the past year and beyond for politics in Wisconsin. A special thanks to Jenna Traum of News 8 and Brad Williams of Wisdom Radio for helping ask questions. Invitations were extended to two Republicans, including State Representative Lee Nierison of Westby, who declined, and a La Crosse County Republican Party Chair, Bill Feehan, who was unable to attend. Tune in to 88.9 WLSU tomorrow morning to hear from former State Senator Dan Kopanky. He looks back at the year in politics, tells me what he's been up to since the recall election, and gives some insight into his future. Dan Kopanky, tomorrow at 7:50 during Morning Edition on 88.9 WLSU, NPR News and Music from Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes Steve Roysom, John Gatto, Mary Mian Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse.